Important dates in Christian history. 1611. The authorized or King James translation of the Bible in the English language is published. 54 scholars worked for 4 years on the project. The King James Version became the Bible of choice in the English-speaking world for over 400 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we are back on Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Todd, of course, is out at Kennesaw State University today. And if you've been listening, he's one for one. That's right. I know some may view the apparent rejection we just heard as failure. Listen, it is not, because failure would be not to share the truth of the gospel with that young lady, even though it was obvious that she had an assortment, a potpourri of beliefs, if you will. Little from here, little from there. Look, our mandate from God is clear. Go into all the world and be my witness. In other words, share the gospel, throw the seed, water the seed, and leave it to God to reap the harvest. So let's get back out to the campus now with Todd at Kennesaw State University.
Prepare for a lesson on sociology, courtesy of Aaron, who is studying sociology. And you're going to have to tell me what that means. What do you study with sociology?
It's basically you just like kind of divulge into like people and how they react and like life situations and stuff.
So this is like right up your alley.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's kind of just like mixed in with mental health, but also like just how you react with other people as well.
Cultures, why societies do what they do.
Yeah.
So you must study history too.
Yeah.
So here, I'm actually want to ask you a history question. Do you know what is the Easter holiday about?
If you're religious and you believe in Christianity, it's about Jesus died for his sins and he got reincarnated on this day, I believe.
I think you're pretty close. But I would, though, as a sociologist, like to challenge the way you phrase that. Can I do that?
Yes.
You said, if you're a Christian and if you believe that, that's what happened. Wouldn't the reality be that event either happened or it didn't, no matter what people think about it?
If it happened, I guess, yes. But if, I don't know. I don't really
know. All right, you're a student of sociology.
I am personally a Christian, but like it's up to the eye of the beholder, whether they believe it happened or not.
Are you a postmodern thinker?
I would say, yeah.
Yeah, I think you are too. I suspect you are. That truth is valid based on the beliefs of the individual. That would be somebody who's postmodern. That sounds like you.
Yes.
All right, so I'm going to challenge your postmodernism, Aaron. Are you ready?
Okay, yeah.
I believe that the microphone I'm holding has all of the power in the universe. And if I sing a song by the Beatles called We All Live in a Yellow Submarine 3 times into this microphone before I die, this microphone is going to take me to an eternal concert where the Beatles will perform forever and I'll get to be in the front row. That is my...
But you only get to listen to Yellow Submarine? That doesn't sound like fun.
If you really like Ringo Starr. So that's my belief. Aaron, am I wrong?
I don't know.
Come on.
What happens after you die?
Well, we know that this microphone doesn't have all the power in the universe, and it's not going to take me to a Beatles concert.
Okay,
so you'd say I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Because post...
If you really believe that microphone can do that for you, then who's to say that it can't do that for you?
Well, I think reason and common sense would tell me this ain't it.
Obviously. Right,
but belief is one thing.
Yeah.
Truth is another thing. I can believe a lie, but I would be wrong. Truth is not valid based on the intensity of an individual's belief. It stands or falls on its own merit, is either true or false. And I suspect, Aaron, you live more like a pre-modern than a post-modern.
What is that supposed to mean, though?
Well, do you ever take a test? And let's say you get an 88. Have you ever said to your professor, but I believe I got 102, so that's what I actually got? You would never say that, right?
No.
Instead, you go, oops, I missed 12 points. I was wrong 12 times. I get an 88. And you accept that because that's reality.
Right.
When you go to Starbucks, what's your favorite drink?
pink drink. It's so basic.
So you get a pink drink. And how much is it?
Depending on if I get a venti or grande, $4 to $5.
Would you ever say to the barista at the Starbucks about your pink drink, I believe it's 8 cents?
No.
No, because it's like, reality.
It should be 8 cents in the realistic. And if I wanted it to be 8 cents, I feel like it should be. But like supply and demand costs and all that stuff.
But you can believe it's 8 cents, but it's not. And you would just be wrong. So you live like a pre-modern, but you've probably been taught postmodernism, because you'll find this, I think, a little bit interesting with your sociology studies. You've been informed and perhaps educated to be a Greek dualist. Philosophically, a Greek dualist would say that there are certain things that are reality, like math and science. We test it, we verify it, we run the numbers. That's reality. But things like belief, that's on a different level. That's in the realm of personal. It's not attached necessarily to reality. So it sounds like you're kind of like that.
But what even is reality?
That's a fair question, my sociological friend. What is reality?
Who knows at this point? Like, there's so much stuff going on in this world we don't even know about.
Well, true, but how's about you think, therefore you are?
Yeah, I guess.
You've got emotions. You're a sentient being. Yeah. You think, you process, you feel pain.
Yes.
That seems like reality to me.
Yeah, that's reality.
But do you think we're maybe a big computer simulation?
No, but I don't think we're the only people in the entire universe. Like, not people, but like beings, living creatures.
Why do you believe that?
Because there's just so much out there that we don't know about.
Right, but wouldn't that be called ignorance, and therefore I wouldn't make a conclusion based on what I don't know?
I mean, to some extent, you're ignorant to not believe that there's not other stuff out there.
Well, it might be accurate to say, because the place is so vast, right, and because it is so extraordinarily big, that there could be something out there. But I would actually reason with you that we can know this is reality, and this is the only reality. Can I give that a go and try to persuade you?
I mean, this is our only reality in the current state, right?
Sure, this is as much as we can consume as finite beings. Sure, I would agree with that. All right, let me try to reason with you. This thing that we're swinging on right now, where do you think it came from?
It's made out of wood, and like people made it.
Actually, I think it's made out of recycled milk cartons.
Is it?
It's plastic, I think so, yeah.
Be plastic, but this is wood and this is metal.
Fair enough. Okay, but this thing is sitting here. How did it get here?
Workers made it, built it, and put it up together.
Did you see them making it, putting it here?
No, but I mean, how did all these buildings they didn't just appear?
Well, that's going to be my argument. Precisely. They didn't just appear. You know there's a builder.
Okay, fair. Right? Fair.
Because there it is. There's the proof. Now, I would say to you that you, Aaron, are more intricately designed, certainly, than the swing set, even more so than that building, even if it's loaded with technology. Your wiring is so intricate, even in your eyes alone, there is no way you happen by yourself. I intuit that because you are made intricately, there is an intricate maker.
I agree with that. I do agree with that.
So the question then is, who's your intricate maker?
Personally, biologically, my parents, but Jesus, I believe Jesus, but everyone here.
So you believe that Jesus is God?
I don't know. I don't really know. It's like a conflict of interest. Like, it's something that's like, okay, I didn't really grow, like, I wasn't raised Christian, but like, I chose to kind of be because I found peace with God and stuff like that. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know, I kind of think reincarnation might be a thing, and like a lot of other stuff.
Why do you dig reincarnation?
Because I feel like the fact of like we're souls and we are here to, I feel like, okay, this is what I believe, is that we each are souls and we come into our life to create our purpose to all as accumulation. In each different life, you have a purpose. And then once your soul has completed all its purposes, like you go to heaven. Does that make sense?
I understand it.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
But the question is, Is that true?
I mean, I don't know, but it's just an interesting thing to think about. Like, what if that is what happens?
If we're talking about eternity, and if we're talking about an endless cycle here, we're talking about living on for forever in some state, I think that I'd want to know if what I'm believing is true. So coming up with something might feel good, but the question is it good?
I mean, it could be good.
All right, let me just explore yourself internally for a second. I'm going to guess one of the reasons you like the idea of reincarnation is because it's kind of a second chance program. So if I kind of biffed it in this life, I can give it another go at this and have another shot. That feels kind of good.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I get that. But I think there's a better explanation for how to resolve that internal, that what if I'm not getting this right here? Yeah. All right. And I think it comes back to the question about Easter. I think this might be the key to a lot of the parts that you got moving around right now.
Okay, hold it just a second. Let's break real quick right here. We will be back with more Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day, and that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Krotz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Gloss, Lawson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you grab the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody, and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. It's probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. That's right. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. Hundreds of hours of teaching from voices you can trust. Marriage advice that actually works. Parenting wisdom rooted in scripture and theology that connects your mind to your life. And get this. It's all free. Completely free. No subscription. No hidden fees. Just solid biblical content available whenever you want it. Plus, we're adding stuff every day, including my news feature that'll help you understand what's really happening in our culture through a biblical worldview. That's my intent anyway. Look, the world is trying to disciple you through your phone every day. Why not fight back with truth? Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free, it's powerful, and it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Hey, can I be honest with you for a second? I see a lot of guys just drifting. Just going through the motions, working, hanging out, maybe going to church, but not really sure what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. And here's what's crazy. Nobody's giving you real answers. It's just a bunch of cliches about being a man that don't actually help. But I found something that does help. Dr. Adam Tyson has hosted a Fortis Forum, 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. And it is not what you think. Dr. Tyson does not just tell you to do better. He shows you what the Bible actually says about manhood. Real steps you can take, real changes that start in your heart, not just your behavior. That's what we need. Look, if you're tired of drifting and you want some actual direction, this is it. 5 steps that will challenge you to live with real purpose. It's on Fortis Plus. You can watch it whenever you want. Just go check it out right now. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Just download Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps or go to fortisplus.org. Trust me, it's time to stop drifting and time to start living.
Books of the Bible. The book of Obadiah is a prophecy against the nation of Edom, who were descendants of Jacob's brother, Esau. Obadiah's message is clear. God will punish those who persecute his people. When you face troubles of any kind, turn to the Lord. Renew your faith in him, for he cares for his people. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And welcome back to Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. Todd's been talking with Aaron, a pre-modern, post-modern, sociology major. She's got a lot going on swimming around in her noggin. So let's get back out to Todd and see if he can help her make sense of it all.
If Jesus Christ is God, and let's say he was beaten, hung in the air on a tree to die, and then 3 days later he rose from the grave, that just busts every law of nature that a dead man comes back to life. And not only that, he's healthy and he can walk 6 miles that day. That was an extraordinary, miraculous event. The question is it true? Did it really happen?
It did happen. I think it did happen, actually. Yes, it did.
Why? Why did that event take place? What was going on in the death and resurrection of Christ?
The Romans were mad because people were, like, being drawn to Jesus. And, who's the one that ratted on him?
Judas.
It was Judas. Judas ratted on Jesus. And then Jesus paid for everyone's sins.
Exactly. Because we're sinners. Because we break God's laws. We don't live for him the way that we should.
And I actually was just having a conversation with my friend over there. I was like, I need to go back to church. Like, I've been kind of strained since I came to college. If I'm not gonna lie. So I just have been trying to find ways. Like, I just got my first job, so I'm kind of going back on the right track.
But I want to make sure, though, that you're on the biblical track, okay? Fair. All right? Because the Bible says that a man, a woman must be born again, or he or she will not see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Just by using those two words, what do you think that means?
Just like, you're born again, like you have a completely different perspective on life and how you treat others and just like wanting to walk in the way of Christ.
Let me just see if I can color that just a tad. I think you're on the right track with that. That when a man or a woman agrees with what the Bible says about ourselves, because we tend to say a lot of flattering things about ourselves. I tend to like me a lot. And I tend to think I'm doing pretty good compared to, like, you know, those people out there, and certainly better than Adolf Hitler. Right?
Yeah.
So I have a high opinion of myself. And the Bible says you really need to rethink that, because I lie and I've stolen in my life. I've lusted. I haven't honored God's name the way that I should. I dishonored my parents. I was unjustly angry at people. In other words, I was a law breaker. And I have to agree with what the Bible says about me. I'm not good. I'm bad. So here's my question. Would you agree that Aaron is a bad person?
I would say that I have sinned, but I do believe that I'm forgiven through Christ.
Good thought. But just hang on to that one for a second. We haven't gotten that far in our little journey. Do you agree with the Bible when it says that Aaron is bad?
Inherently bad. Yes, but you can find redemption through Christ.
Amen. I agree with that, because that's what Jesus died for, to save us from the punishment that our sins have purchased for us, right? And that's what it means to be born again. You realize you're not good, you're bad, but Jesus is good. He died to save me, and now I don't want my sins anymore. I want my Savior. Have you ever been in an almost fatal car crash or a really nasty accident?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
When did it happen?
I was in fourth grade and it was New Year's Day, and I was in this hammock, and my friend, she was like a little bigger than me, and this big, huge tree fell on top of my back, and I was getting crushed to death and I almost died. And they barely lifted up the tree. Like, it was at her grandparents' house, and he was like on a ventilator. It's this small, frail old lady, her teenage 14-year-old brother. And I'm like 10, and they like barely lifted the tree up, and I had a broken collarbone, punctured lungs, broken ribs. Yeah.
You remember that, because it was a big deal.
Yeah.
You went from the jaws of death to life.
Yes.
Okay. When were you born again?
I want to say November 18th, 2020.
What happened?
I was baptized, and I just like had a lot of freedom. It was really great.
So the baptism business, what did that do for you?
I just started like doing better. I just felt like I was doing a lot of good things. And then I kind of like when like everything closed down after Corona and stuff like that, it just kind of like made it harder for me.
Okay, so would you agree with me, your baptism didn't do anything for you? It was just kind of an outward profession of what you believe has already happened inside of you.
I would agree, yes.
So Jesus said that Aaron must be born again to see the kingdom of God. You're telling me for certain, beyond the shadow of a doubt, you've been born again.
It's hard because I feel like I was, and then like I strayed. So I feel like it's, I don't know, it's like always a kind of like push and pull relationship for me personally.
What does that mean?
Like sometimes I just like resist allowing God to like just completely like take over my life and just like walk with God versus like kind of only talking to him or like going to him when I need it. You know what I mean?
Let me imagine that when you are tempted to do something you know you shouldn't, rather than obeying him, you obey your desires, and that's the way you go.
Sometimes, yes.
That's an internal battle, right? This might help you, Aaron. Here's a question for you. If you are God's child, if you are in Christ, do you think God loves you more when you are going to church or when you're doing one of those sinful things you know you shouldn't do? When does God love you more?
He loves me no matter what.
Exactly. Now fathom that for a second. Just grasp that for a moment. I don't need to know, but whatever your bad sin is that you like to do, when you're doing that bad thing, if you're in Christ, God loves you as much as if you were praying to him at that moment. Now just fathom that. And that is the very thought that should encourage you to not do that thing.
Right. I understand.
I got another question for you. In your own words, define for me the theological word justification.
Like backing something up.
Tell me in your own words, as best you can, what does the word sanctification mean? Justification has the word just in it, right? So you hear justice.
Sanctum is like a safe place, right?
A sanctuary can be. But if you're thinking about the Latin word sanctus, you're thinking about the word holy. So sanctification is growing in holiness, becoming more like God. Okay? Justification is the theological doctrine that when Jesus Christ died on a cross, the last thing that he said was, "It's finished." He spoke seven words on the cross. One of them, the second of the last, was, "It is finished," which means justification has been completed. That Aaron, if she puts her trust in Jesus Christ, will not be seen as a guilty, law-breaking criminal, but will be seen as totally forgiven because Jesus Christ paid the judicial payment to God by dying on a cross for Aaron, so that you can be seen as justified in the eyes of God. That's the doctrine of justification. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if you're born again, you're a justified saint of God, totally forgiven, seen as righteous in the eyes of God because of what Christ has done for you. That's the doctrine of justification. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
The doctrine of sanctification says, because of your justification, now your desire is to obey him and to live for him because he has done that for me. Be careful that you don't confuse the two, because if you think that by doing good, that's making you pleasing to God, you're wrong. Your justification in Christ makes you pleasing to God. And that's the knowledge then that motivates you to live the way that you're supposed to. As we part company here, keep those two theologies in mind and spend time thinking about you are loved by God as intensely as the Father loves the Son. He loves you because you've been brought into Christ. You've been forgiven. You've been adopted. You've been brought into God's family. You've been removed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. And now, he says, obey and live for me because of what I've done for you. And that should be the thing that helps you to battle those temptations. That's the knowledge that causes you to go, I'm going to church because I want to learn about the God who died for me. there. That's genuine Christianity. Don't mingle the two and confuse them, because you'll get off track and you'll feel really rotten all the time, or you'll become really self-righteous. And God wants you to be a humble, confident follower. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So as we part company, you're one of the most colorful people that we've talked to out here.
Really?
Absolutely. One of the most interesting, thoughtful people that we've talked to. I just hope that you will now leave, if you're in Christ, confident and joyful that you're his child, and that will color the rest of your life and make everything make sense, including your sociology classes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, what an honest and transparent young lady. Be in prayer for young Erin. I'm not sure that we can actually know for sure if she's legitimately a Christian or not, but she seems to believe she is, and she seems to have a hunger, but she also seems persuaded by some other things. So let's all be praying for that young lady. And that's another Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.